This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Two coaches will be looking for their first Super Bowl this season. Andy Reid, one of them. We're about to get into his offense. And Sean McVay, who's about to turn 33 next week, which makes me absolutely sick. You're familiar with this Andy Reid offense, Stanford. I think he gets a bad rap because I think a lot of people don't really appreciate just how good of a coach Andy Reid has been. A lot of people hold the fact that he got to four straight conference titles and didn't win a Super Bowl against him as if that's easy to do.
Right.
But I think Andy Reid's one of the better offensive coaches in recent history, and I think he gets a bad rap. But his offense is as good as it's ever been right now, and you're familiar with it. What makes Andy Reid so good offensively? What makes his offense tick, as they like to say?
I think Andy Reid, what makes him so good is that he obviously he's not worried about failure, and he's willing to open up the entire playbook. He's willing to open up every entire possibility, and that's why he's able to create the offenses that he's been creating ever since his days back in Philadelphia with Donovan McNabb, because mm-hmm. you see a lot of quarterback coaches, you see a lot of offensive coordinators that they're worried about, oh, well, if we try this, this might be too much. We might be putting too much on the quarterback's shoulders.
Right.
Or if this play doesn't work, then all of a sudden I'm going to get nervous. I'm going to scale everything back because they want to play everything safe. They want to play everything close to the vest. They don't want to take chances. They don't want to be innovative. They don't want to actually go out there and try to recreate the wheel. And Andy Reid, just like a Sean McVay, they're one of those coaches that they don't mind actually pushing the limits. They don't mind actually going out there and doing something exotic that may not have ever been seen before, because
right.
it can actually be a trend if it actually does work. And I think that with Andy Reid's brilliance on the offensive side of the ball, that's the reason why he gets so much criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're so brilliant offensively, why does it seem like it always works September, October, November, and then slowly December and January? That's when it starts to sputter off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually, he's a victim of his own success, in my opinion.
Well, and the defenses in the postseason and years past. Now, this year, the defenses have not been so good. Let me ask you this, because I've always said this about Andy Reid. Cough. Andy
right
Reid.
There.
Yeah.
Right there.
He's kind of like a jump shooter to me. If he knocks down his first couple of shots,
yes.
you're done.
Uh-huh.
You know, if he has a good
Agreed.
First couple of early drives or plays on the first drive, you're done. I think he's like a streak shooter in coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he just finds a groove as a play caller.
And I think also to your point, I think what also leads to Andy Reid's struggles in the postseason is because that's when it gets cold. That's when it gets rainy. You have inclement
weather.
Hard
to find that groove.
Exactly. And Andy Reid has always been predominantly a passing offensive coordinator. Well, guess what? You got to still be able to run the ball when you get to the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
So at times, whenever the offense tends to sputter in the pass game, it's like he gets away from the run game, which can actually sustain drives, that can actually go ahead and actually take time off the clock and actually go ahead and lead to a victory. And I think that he gets away from that from time to time whenever it gets nut-cutting time. And so because of that, that causes his offenses, that causes his teams to
mm-hmm.
somewhat hit a wall in the postseason. And because of so much success in the regular season, because of so much success in the early part of the season,
right.
that's what makes everybody wonder, okay, well, wait a minute. Why are you all of a sudden hitting the wall? Because you were doing
right.
everything great back in October, November. So what's going on? So I think that once again, I think that his success is what also leads to the criticism, because if you're going to be successful,
yeah.
you got to be consistent with it all the way throughout.
Let me ask you this, though, specifically against Bill Belichick. No coach has scored more points against Belichick consistently than Andy Reid. What does he do against that defense, which we all know, it's almost a cliche now, Bill Belichick takes away the one thing you do best and lets you get beat and makes you beat him with other people. But Andy Reid has scored 40 points on him three times.
I think Andy Reid is wide open offensively. I think he has a wide open mind, and I think much like the Alabama defense, a lot of times it's so highly revered, you don't go in with a full all-out game plan because you're kind of
scared. Kind of gets in your head.
Yeah, you're kind of scared of them. The mystique is obviously what will have you back on your heels rather than actually going for the win. You're just playing not to lose. And with Andy Reid, he's going with it. The running backs, the tight ends, the receivers. He's letting the quarterback fling the ball all across the field. And with the New England Patriots, if you don't beat yourself, you don't have silly penalties, you don't turn the ball over, that defense is actually susceptible to being beat, because even in years past, we see the New England Patriots motto has been give you everything from 20 to 20.
Yeah.
And then when they get inside the red zone, they force field goals. So as long as you don't go down there and pee down your leg once you get to the red zone, you actually can score points against that defense.
Yeah, against the Chargers, they're running two deep safeties, and the Chargers were still trying to force the ball down there. It almost didn't seem like Phillip Rivers was taking what they were giving him. How the hell do you stop what the Chiefs do best, though, is my question, because I guess you could put safeties deep and hope Tyreek Hill doesn't beat you long, but they throw it to him in the short game and he breaks out. And then you have Travis Kelce, who's probably the best tight end in the league right now. Sammy Watkins is back from injury. I don't know. I don't know that strategy is going to work. Let's pretend that they are going to do that. Is it as simple as having the two deep safeties and keeping Ty Hill in front of you? What do you think the biggest threat is of this Chiefs offense?
I think the biggest threat of the Chiefs offense is Pat Mahomes, obviously, because he's the wizard back there. He's the one making everything happen. And conversely, on the defense side of the ball, the same thing that helped the Patriots be successful against the St. Louis Rams back in the 2001 Super Bowl is, I think, that can be the Achilles heel of this Kansas City Chiefs team, because this is now the greatest show on turf, if we'll have you. And so you have to get hands on the receivers. You have to get physical with Travis Kelce. You have to, whether it's in man coverage or whether it's in zone coverage, you have to get physical with these guys, because it's going to be very cold outside on Sunday. We all know that.
We're going to get to that in a second.
I don't care what offensive player it is. Nobody likes physicality on the offensive side of the ball.
Thank you. Pat Mahomes does not like cold weather.
Yes. Put your hands on the receivers. Put your hands on the tight end, even if it's a running back. Knock them on their behind, because even with just simply their speed and their greatness on offense, you being physical with them is going to slow them down. It's going to make them hesitate. And that can give that defensive lineman, that D tackle, that extra split second to get to the quarterback, or at least rattle him to the point to where everything's not going smoothly. Because as you see in the first half, everything went pretty smooth for Pat Mahomes in the first half against the Indianapolis Colts. You want to make things uncomfortable for offenses like that, especially in cold weather.
It's going to be interesting to see. This is a big chapter in Pat Mahomes' career, because a lot of times it takes you a while to get over that hump. If you get over that hump right now, your first full season as a starter, I don't want to try to say what he's going to do, but if he does get over that hump, then it's going to be very scary. But then if he doesn't, then who knows what happens. Maybe it's one of those Peyton Manning things where that's the narrative. Snow games. Everybody likes watching snow games, Stanford. We talked about it earlier. How much does it suck to play in a snow game, though?
Oh, my goodness. I can't speak for every other player that I've ever been around in the National Football League. I know for me, I don't like snow games. I don't like the sleet. I don't like any of that. Now, if I have to play in it, hey, it is what it is.
I don't think anybody does, or very few.
But I can say that you'd much rather just play in a cold game rather than the snow, because then it starts getting ice, the snow starts to melt, then it starts to get wet out there where you might slip and fall on the football field, and as a corner, you can't slip and fall and make a play.
And those
guys, I think that's for certain. And so for me, I can deal with the cold. When you start getting those inclemental weather with the precipitation, the rain, the sleet, the snow, ice, things like that, I don't want any parts of that. But once again, that's why they play the game. You got to go out there, suit up, no matter what the field conditions
are. Those guys that come out there with no shirts on and all that, they're pouring Vaseline and all kinds of other stuff on their arms before they get out there just to look tough. They're cold as anybody else.
Yeah, a lot of guys are. Now, for me as a DB, I never wanted to wear sleeves simply because it's a mindset. Because if I go out there with sleeves on, then I'm actually going to somehow feel the cold. And then I'm not going to want to play as hard because it's cold. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to be out
here. Did you do the Vaseline thing?
No, I didn't do the Vaseline. But what I would do is, and I would do this even if it was 100 degrees outside, I would always wear the half sleeves. Okay. And that was more so for fashion than it was for just keeping warm.
Spat it up.
but the fact of the matter is that it's mind over matter. It's cold out there for everybody, and as long as you don't let the cold actually get into your head, you can still go out there and perform. But once again, now, I mean, it's playing for keeps right now. This is for a chance to go to the Super Bowl and actually go down in history as a Super Bowl champion. So if it's rain, if it's sleet, if it's snow, if it's a hurricane
out there,
you got to go out there and play through it. So that's the thing you love about football in January. It's because not only does the team have to be better than the other team, you got to play through the elements.
That's why I love your former teammate, Jamarcus Russell. He's one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, because it was 55 degrees. Y'all were playing, I forgot where you were playing, but it was 55 degrees. And that kid from Louisiana was shivering his ass off. He had like a full ass winter coat on. And I was like, he might suck, but I can relate to that dude because I hate the cold.
Get out of the cold, man.
He is one of my favorites of all time because of that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.